Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome. Good morning to you all. Good to be with you. I was going to stand outside and welcome people until I went out there in this garb and decided there wasn't any shade for me to stand in. So. Good to be with you this morning. So we're going to go through our communion service this morning. And when we come to that moment of receiving communion, if you could come up in a line, distance appropriately from each bubble, I will distribute from here this morning. We're gently moving slowly, very, very slowly, back to some semblance of normality. We still are in the mode of receiving communion by the wafer or the bread. Only at the moment, but as we've said before, there's a long tradition in the Anglican Communion of when you receive either the bread or the wine, you have received full communion. So we will honour our church leaders and do what they're asking us to do. You may have seen a little insert in your sheet this week, Chichester Art Society, and the reason for that is that one of our church wardens, Roger, who's a great artist, you may know him, let it slip that he's going to have some work at this, and so we thought you'd like to know that. We thought you'd like to know if you want to pop along to see, amongst others, Roger's artwork. And all the other notices are on your sheet. I guess we're going to find out probably tomorrow, is it? The government are making an announcement about whether we think we'll be able to have hymns in the park or not. My guess would be, from what we're reading, that we may have to postpone that a little, but do not fear, we will postpone it. We won't cancel it. We will. So once we hear from the government what's going to happen over the next 4 weeks, we'll make a decision about hymns in the park, and I should get in contact with Havant Borough Council to confirm a new date if we need it. Other than that, one last thing before we finish our news. If you're going to come along to remember Olive on the 3rd of July, here in St. Thomas's in the afternoon, it would be really helpful for Olive's children, daughters, if you could let the office know that you're going to pop along. Don't come because you haven't let the office know, but just to give them some idea of numbers, that would be very helpful. So just let Deb know in the office. But as I always say, our main reason for being here today is to worship our God, and whether we do that in communion or through morning prayer, our God looks forward, I believe, to us worshipping him. So let's take a moment to be quiet before we begin, and then we'll begin our service of communion. And so we say together our prayer of preparation. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us pause for a moment in silence and reflect upon our lives as we come before a God who is keen to forgive us. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all, as we confess together. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you're able to and you'd like to, feel free to stand as we share our worship in the Gloria. And we worship together. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. And we sit or kneel for our prayer of the week, the collect. And as is our local tradition here, before I pray the collect, a moment of silence for you to pray your own prayer of thanks. Lord, you have taught us that all our doings without love are nothing worth. Send your Holy Spirit and pour into our hearts that most excellent gift of love, the true bond of peace and of all virtues, without which whoever lives is counted dead before you. Grant this for your Son, Jesus Christ's sake, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As I invite Mike up to do us, read for us our first reading, I don't know about you, but as I was praying silently there, I just felt that little nudge from God's Spirit that actually when we personally interact with him, it brings him pleasure. I just felt God's pleasure in that moment. Mike.
The first reading is from 1 Peter, verses 13 to 21. The bidding is, be holy. It's a big ask, isn't it? Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, So be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with the perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you had redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Mike. If you'd like to, do stand out of respect as we read the gospel. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. And as we return to our series on Matthew, I'm reading from chapter 13, starting at verse 31. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled that what was spoken through the prophet, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. He answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Do have a seat as I invite Fleur to come and share with us this morning. Many of you know Fleur already, of course. Fleur predominantly worships at St. Nicholas's, but I think it's fair to say loves coming here as well. So, and we're going to hear what God has been saying to Fleur through those readings this morning. So let's take a moment just to pray for her before we begin. We thank you, Lord, for the gifts that you have given Fleur and how readily she is willing to use them for your glory. Thank you for your Spirit speaking to her over the last week or so. We pray that as she shares, she is full of your peace and your Spirit, and that we have hearts and minds that are open to hear what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. How are we? It is a beautiful day. And I cycled here from home. We were doing, I was saying to Carol about the chicken pox and the grain. I spoke at St. Nicholas this morning, But I had two of my three children with me. And then John came to pick me up, and then we were working out what was the best in terms of logistics between getting them home and then getting me back here. So we resolved that I would cycle here, and I arrived quite a sweaty mess. So you'll have to forgive me, I have hat hair. But I'm sure you're very gracious with me and you don't mind. I said when I spoke last time that I always wanted Mike to do the readings before I spoke, and I'm really thankful that that has been taken note, and it was read beautifully, so I'm very thankful. I wanted to talk a bit about the end of times. Something just came to me. It's quite an easy subject to do on a Sunday mid-year. I was doing just some preparation. Max, when he writes out the rota of who's going to be a speaker, just puts a little bit of a theme on the top. And this theme is Matthew Moore farming, which wasn't necessarily a lot to go with. But that was fine, that was fine. And I think this study in Matthew that we've all been collectively doing as a church has been a really, really wonderful time, and especially if you're involved in it. You know, if you come every kind of week and you don't necessarily kind of see the lineage, as it were, you're not taking away from it what you should be in terms of it all feeding into one another and it all becoming this marvellous tapestry that kind of really comes to life in front of your eyes. And I just wanted to do a super duper quick recap. And you'll have to forgive me, because I presume everyone's been doing the double. Is that right? Am I going to say something and people are going to look? So Polly, when she spoke, I think around about a month ago, she challenged us all about how we're sharing the gospel. And then Peter did a beautiful anointing with the oil on Pentecost, encouraging us all to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives. And then Emily did a wonderful, wonderful talk about the Holy Trinity, which is obviously, again, quite a simple tick in the box. That's something as you know, you wrestle with your whole life, you know, that kind of relationship of the Trinity. And then last week, Max challenged us all to kind of raise the bar in terms of taking ownership of our own discipleship and our own discipleship journey, using that kind of parable of the sower. So this week, I felt like I was kind of on the shoulders of giants, so I thought I would continue with this high caliber talk and talk about eschatology. Now I'm new to speaking in church, and maybe I haven't paid a lot of attention before because I always tend to be distracted by little people, but I'm incredibly impressed with the gifts that our church has in its speakers. I think for me this is a real gift that God's given our church, and I think it's something we should be really thankful for. And by no means am I presuming that I'm in that same calibre, but what a wonderful opportunity to speak about such exciting concepts of Christianity. And these aren't concepts that are easily solved. You know, these are concepts that you spend your life considering. And I noticed in the pew sheet, you know, we have that challenge to raise any kind of issues you want spoken about, and to raise those with Max. And I think Max is really, really open to that idea of kind of, you know, talking about issues that are being laid on your hearts. So, on first reading of Matthew that Max read earlier, I thought I would do an analogy of a mustard seed and a large tree. I thought I'd do an analogy of a kind of a unleavened versus leavened with the yeast. That was quite a kind of, you know, when we're talking about that kind of the passage that Matthew was talking about kind of the kingdom of heaven. But actually, I've also been reading a devotional series that links the Old Testament books to the New Testament. And one linkage that it made from Leviticus was fast forward to 1 Peter, which is the passage that Mike read again so beautifully. And I thought that was nice. I thought, oh yeah, that's really nice. And it's our preacher's privilege to kind of put forward a second reading. So I thought, oh, I'll put that one forward. I really like that one. But I hadn't necessarily really looked at the two passages together, but I did this week, and actually the kind of the correlation between the two is really very significant, and it's not significant in terms of the yeast, and it's not necessarily significant in terms of the mustard seed. It's significant in terms of the harvest And that's the second part that the passage of Matthew talks about. It talks about the end of time's harvest. So what I wanted to do was is to really kind of draw that connection out between those two passages. And I've got two of the verses here. The first one's from Matthew, and it says, "The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels." And then from 1 Peter, a passage says, "He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sakes." What have you thought about the end of the world? This is a collective question. I'm sure you've thought much more about the end of the world in the last year than you perhaps ever have done in your whole entire life. Have you, and do you, pray for Christ's return? How often do you feel a foreigner in this life? And do you know that you will only truly be made whole in heaven? You know, in the passage of 1 Peter, do you live your life as a stranger? Are you a stranger in your own life? And these are really kind of questions, again, that we're wrestling with. And I have two responses to that. The first is, holy, holy, holy. And the second is that passage first heard in Leviticus and then repeated in 1 Peter. Be holy because I am holy. The balance between knowing and believing as children of God, we are heaven bound, versus our challenge to prepare our minds for action and to be self-controlled, being holy in all we do, is a paradox. We have the victory because of Christ, but we're challenged to be holy with action. Jesus is coming, look busy. That's the challenge, isn't it? Jesus is coming, look busy. Eschatology is the part of theology concerned with death, judgment, and the final destiny of the soul and of humankind. And a quote that I found, "Christian hope is concerned with eschatology." Gosh, that's heavy stuff, isn't it? Our whole hope is wrapped up in the end of times. But actually, our hope is in Christ's second coming. Our hope is in the last harvest and in us as righteous harvesters, as holy. Be holy because I am holy. And this ties in really with Max's talk last week about the parable of the sower. You know, where is this seed falling in our own lives? How committed are we to the message of the gospel? How fertile are we making our lives to receive the message of the kingdom of God? I've put kingdom of God because that's something that rolls off the tongue, but the passage isn't kingdom of God. The passage is kingdom of heaven. And that's something that I've noticed this week, that subtle difference. I often view my own faith journey as similar to that of an onion. Infinite layers further deepening into the heart. And I think a lot of people would recognise that. You know, at your start of your journey of Christianity, you're very much on the outside of that onion. And then you peel the layers off and you get closer and closer to that core of the onion. But in our own Christian faith journey, the layers are infinite. You know, I'm sure that the Archbishop of Canterbury, you would think, oh, what a holy man. But his layers are still infinite in comparison to God. We can't compare our own faith with anybody who sat next to us. It's our own faith journey. I think that was really clear to me in Max's talk last week. We've got to make that decision about our own discipleship. We can't look at the person next to us and say, well, definitely holier than them. No, that doesn't work. This is your onion and you're working through your own layers. And perhaps the deepest layer is this sentence within 1 Peter 1. Live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. But wow, what does that mean? And I think really what that means is that there's a wrestle within us. We are the harvesters in the ultimate harvest that was spoken about in Matthew, but the victory is ours already. And within Peter, for you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver and gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, but with the precious blood of Christ. Peter is saying we are all what we all know, but potentially frequently forget. We can't earn our place. We can't buy our place. And so, with our victory in our hands, we wait until the end of time. But we're not called to be passive. We are called to prepare our minds for action. We are to be holy. We are to love the Lord our God and to love our neighbour as ourselves. And the onion gets deeper. We wait for Christ's second coming, assured of the victory. We will fully hope for the end of days. We will hope for the end of days to be made perfect in front of our Saviour. And the onion goes deeper. Do not worry. We realise our lives weren't fulfilled and won't be fulfilled until heaven. We will never be fulfilled until heaven. We will always have our worries and anxieties. We're not supposed to be happy here. We're supposed to have unrest. We're supposed to be foreigners in our own bodies. We're supposed to be strangers living in reverent fear. Because actually, we haven't made it to heaven yet. So those worries that we wrestle with daily, they're not something we can get rid of. So actually, we should stop trying. We shouldn't worry about our worries, and we shouldn't worry about getting rid of them. We will always have them, always have our anxieties. So we choose to ignore them, because they don't add another day to our lives. We put down our anxieties, and we choose to worship. I used to work for the Salvation Army. I worked for the Salvation Army for 12 years, and it was a wonderful, wonderful place to work. I now work for the Office for National Statistics, which I would say is probably the antithesis from one organisation to the other. But in the Salvation Army, they had a real bold claim that said, we are born to worship. That's what we're born to do. And I love that, because what that does in my own head is it removes all this guff that gets in the way, you know, tussling between to and fro and busy days, you know, and tasks to do and things to achieve and people to make happy and da-da-da. Well, actually, no, I was born to worship. Everything after that, fine. But fundamentally, I was born to worship. And in 1 Peter, really clearly, we have received grace through the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He takes our worries. I'm going to go further into that onion. I'm going to talk more about the end of times. And so the onion goes deeper. Christ was revealed in these last times for our sake. So that's a passage within 1 Peter. And again, Mike read it beautifully. Christ was revealed in these last times for our sake. And when was that written? That was written thousands of years ago. But he says these times. And we're in these times now. Jesus is coming. Look busy. To be fulfilled, there must be the harvest. Sin is to be weeded out. Be holy, because I am holy. The end of times, the rapture, is something that gets very interesting and very confusing very quickly. And that's all I'm going to say about it. But in our faith journey, let us go deeper into the heart of things. Let us realise that these lives should be a bit foreign to us, because we won't truly be fulfilled until we are in heaven. In the meantime, don't worry or be anxious, but be holy, as God our Saviour has asked us to be, and as God our Saviour is.
Thank you very much, Fleur. You know, it's a joy for me when someone else speaks, really. Probably a joy for you when someone else speaks. But actually, I mean, I am being discipled by Fleur. I mean, I've got so much out of that. I'm going to have to go back home, and actually during the week I'm going to be listening to that again, because, you know, I mean, my brain can only hold so much, and there was so much good stuff in there. We're going to take a moment. Carol's going to play for us in a moment, so we can just let that sit with us, really. I mean, you know, I love the onion analogy. You know, what is it for you? What is that next layer for you? So let's invite the Spirit to speak to us now, and then I'll ask Carol to play. So Holy Spirit, we thank you for that gift. We thank you for that gift, Lord. And as we just sit in your presence, would you speak to us, we pray. Amen. And I'd encourage you as well to let that continue maybe this afternoon. It's a glorious day. Why not grab a cold drink and sit in the garden and continue to allow God's Spirit to engage with you? We're going to continue this idea that we are born to worship as we use words that have come down through the years to us but are still as relevant today as they've always been. We're going to turn to our creed. And if you want to, if you're able to, why don't you stand as we declare our faith together. And we declare together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Do have a seat as Sandra brings us our intercessions this week, our prayers to our God.
Let us pray. Lord God, draw us ever closer to you. When we are faced with difficulties, help us to seek your will. When we are frightened, give us courage. And when we are challenged with the needs of others around us, give us compassion. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, we give you thanks for the gradual lifting of the COVID restrictions. May we be patient with the next step of relaxation, always looking towards the safety of us all. We pray for all the countries of the world struggling with a breakdown in healthcare systems because of COVID, among them India and Mexico. We ask too for a fair distribution of vaccines and a spirit of generosity in the granting of aid. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we thank you for our Queen as she celebrates her official birthday this weekend, and also as she mourns the recent death of her husband. She has served you loyally over many years and professes her Christian faith as an example to her country. We pray this weekend for the G7 summit taking place in Cornwall, for good, productive conversations there, and for a spirit of wisdom, collaboration, and generosity. We think also of the security services and our armed forces who have been charged with the task of protecting the leaders of many countries gathered there. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our parish here in Bedhampton, for Max and for Susie, as they proclaim your word amongst us. We pray also for the children and young people growing up in difficult times, especially those known to us, and for all involved in teaching and learning. At this time of assessment and SATs, be with them all. Lord, we place into your arms all who are hurting today, in body, mind, or spirit, those known to us, those on our weekly sheet, and those known to you alone. We remember the lonely and those without hope. We also bring before you the families and friends of those who have recently died, and in the silence of your attentive love, we bring you our private prayers. And finally, Lord, help us to remember that everything we have and all that we are comes from you. May we use our gifts to promote the knowledge of your love in the world. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Sandra. If we're able to, let us stand as we declare some fashion of peace amongst us. We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up the common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Give each other that knowing nod. Thank you, Carol. I don't know if Carol's just very on the ball or not, but it was lovely to hear that song, wasn't it? Holy, holy. Yeah. And so we continue this idea that we are born to worship. As we turn to prayer B, and we worship our Lord together. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. Lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Father, we give you thanks and praise through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh as your Son, born of the Blessed Virgin. He lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross, and he put an end to death by dying for us, and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption as we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. We bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. And so from page 17, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace. And so, friends, draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Most merciful Lord, your love compels us to come in. Our hands were unclean, our hearts were unprepared. We were not fit even to eat the crumbs from under your table. But you, Lord, are the God of our salvation, and share your bread with sinners. So cleanse and feed us with the precious body and blood of your Son, that he may live in us and we in him, and that we, with the whole company of Christ, may sit and eat in your kingdom. Amen. I receive the body of Christ, broken for all God's people. Amen. I receive the blood of Christ, shed for all God's people. Amen. Loving Father, we thank you for feeding us at the supper of your Son. Sustain us with your Spirit, that we may serve you here on earth until our joy is complete in heaven. and we shall share in the eternal banquet with Jesus Christ, our Lord. We say our prayer of thanks together. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Just before I pray a blessing on you, I want to read to you that post-communion prayer again. You may not be aware of this, but the post-communion prayer changes every week. And so let me read that to you again, and then reflect on that prayer and what you've just heard from Fleur. Loving Father, we thank you for feeding us at the supper of your Son. Sustain us with your Spirit, that we may serve you here on earth until our joy is complete in heaven, and we shall share in the eternal banquet with Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so, friends, the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.